Hey there, welcome aboard. You're just in time for another episode of the Nerdy Little Bubba Podcast, where we talk about sports, talk about music, and we talk about life. I'm your host, Mr. Garrett, and we will go ahead and jump right into it. So on the sports front, first and foremost, let me just say that the power of prayer is a very, very beautiful thing. It is a very, it's power, right? Because as we know, about 2 weeks ago, Damar Hamlin suffered a it was an injury that shook everybody up, right? Because of not so much how it happened, but the after effect of it. And it was just a regular play, right? And so unfortunately, I'm not going to rehash the whole entire story, but the bottom line is Damar Hamlin was able to go home today from the hospital. That's right. He has been released from the hospital as of this afternoon. And so that is such a powerful, beautiful, and or positive thing. We wish him the best. We wish him a further speedy recovery so that he can get back to doing what I'm sure that he loves. I really hope that the NFL and or the Buffalo Bills will do the right thing by him and make sure that he is taken care of financially, which I believe I saw a story stating that they were going to pay him his contract. So I think that has been taken care of. But this just also speaks to, you just never know. You just never know what can happen on a daily basis. But I'll touch on that a little bit later. But yes, we are very proud, very happy to receive the news that Damar Hamlin has been released from the hospital. So that tells me that he is getting back on the right track. And who knows, hopefully we will see the young man back on the football field next season. Rolling into that, this was the final weekend of the NFL. And of course, my Miami Dolphins had fate in their hands. They needed to win. They needed to play. They needed to beat the New York Jets in order to secure a spot in the playoffs. In addition to the New England Patriots losing to the Buffalo Bills, ironically. And it's crazy because in the Bills-Patriots game, on the first opening drive, like not even the opening drive, on the kickoff, the special teams player ran it back for a 96-yard touchdown off top. I mean, yeah, it was just, and the way he did it was just so smooth, right? Now, that's not to put a halo over the Bills, right? Because you know I don't have any love for them. I don't. I mean, I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. You know, there is no love between the Dolphins and the Bills. As far as football is concerned, right? But he ran it back, and the Bills took care of their business, and they beat the New England Patriots, which means that all the Dolphins had to do was handle their business against the New York Jets. Well, it was an ugly contest offensively. Like, I don't know if it was an ugly contest offensively or if the defenses were just that great. But either way, it was not an offensive contest. And dare I say, the game was actually boring, except towards the end. But my Dolphins actually prevailed. They finally understood the assignment, and they beat the New York Jets 11-6. And it's crazy how that happened towards the end, because the original score was 9-6. Because all we did was kick field goals all game long. It was, you know, if we didn't kick a field goal, the Jets kicked a field goal. So, but it's crazy how it happened at the end. The New York Jets had the ball with, I believe it was 2 seconds left, and they started doing a lateral. They started lateraling the ball back and forth to each other in order to try to get a score. Well, they did on the final lateral. One of the Jets players was actually in the end zone. And so when he got the ball, he was met by the Miami Dolphins defense. And, well, when you get tackled in the end zone with the ball in your hand, guess what? That's a safety. So add 2 points to the scoreboard. Dolphins beat the Jets 11-6. And it's crazy because neither team had their starting quarterback in the game at all. On the Dolphins side, Skylar Thompson started for us in place of the injured Tua Tagovailoa, as well as Teddy Bridgewater. On the Jets side, they started a man, what's his name? He used to play with the Ravens, and he actually won a couple Super Bowls, but now he old and washed up. No, I shouldn't say that. He's not washed up, but he's definitely a backup player. I don't think I will see him starting anytime soon. I don't know. If we'll see him, I don't even know if he's going to come back next season, but you know, we'll have to see. Anyway, so neither team had their starting quarterback. And it's funny because the Jets just drafted a quarterback last year in Zach Wilson. And so you would think that he would have been the one playing, but I don't know if he was hurt or if they just said, you know what, just sit on the bench. I feel bad for the young cat, because unfortunately that's what happens to quarterbacks when they go to the Jets. So, you know, that I don't understand their situation. Don't really care. I only care about my Dolphins. Now, hopefully next week, we will have Tua Tagovailoa back. And when he does play, he plays. And we win. But I don't know what the Dolphins are going to have to do next season. They're gonna have to think about the quarterback role and how they want to proceed. Because Tua is concussion prone, unfortunately. And if he takes one too many more hits, I mean, it's not going to be a good thing. And then we really got to figure out what from there. Like, you wouldn't want to be in a situation where you really don't know what to do. So what direction should Miami go in? Do we develop Skylar Thompson? I say yes. Develop him. Make sure that he's ready to be the next man up, just in case. And then they get a serviceable backup to him. And then Teddy Bridgewater, as much as I would like for him to get his shine, like Geno Smith is getting his shine, I don't know. He's injury prone also. So where do we go? What do we do? We're going to have to hit the free agent market. I mean, shit, sign Baker Mayfield. Hell, he's going to need a new team. We'll take him. You know, he's a good serviceable backup quarterback. But yeah, something's going to have to give. On the Jets side of the ball, they started Joe Flacco, who was the backup. And Flacco, in his prime, you know, he was getting Super Bowl rings, all that. But now he is a backup. Hell, I mean, if Flacco leaves the Jets, we'll sign him. He's serviceable too. So, and if you really want to get down to brass tacks and get down with it, I think we need to go ahead. I don't see why they won't sign Cap. But I know it's probably not going to happen. But I feel like, based upon all the other backups that are on these other teams, hell, go after Cap. Fuck the controversy. Do what you need to do, because we need to win. And so, having said that, we are playing. We did make it to the playoffs. We are playing our first game on Sunday. And guess what? We're taking on the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. So this is going to be a very interesting contest. I don't know what's going to happen, because if Tua comes back, I would say our chances of winning are 50-50. If we start Skylar Thompson, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to play out. So we'll just have to sit back and see. I will be in front of the TV on Sunday at 1 o'clock. And I believe the game is coming on Fox, I think. Either Fox or CBS. No, it's coming on CBS. And so I will be in front of the TV watching that for sure. Moving on to the NBA. My Los Angeles Lakers have put together a little winning streak, I see. LeBron's getting restless. He is going after... I shouldn't say going after, but he is definitely going to have some discussions with Laker management as to what moves need to be made before the trade deadline. So I feel like as if a few people are going to be seeing their exits, because, you know, LeBron has juice like that. I still blame him partially for the roster that we have, but, you know, yeah, he needs to take some of the responsibility too for this. What we have is what we have. And I feel like it's on him. So right now, the Lakers are 19-21. So we're only two games off from being at 500, which I just don't like it. I don't like it. You know, we're better than that. But hey, we're almost at the halfway mark of the season. Tonight, we're taking on the Denver Nuggets in Denver. Denver is currently sitting at 26-13. So I'm pretty sure it's going to be a battle royale. All things considering, I hope that the Lakers do pull it out. And going back to football, on the college front, only thing that's happening with my Gamecocks, they had a team meeting yesterday. That's about it. Gamecock men's basketball. I know they lost to Tennessee, but I think they beat somebody here recently the other week. I'll have to go back and look. And of course, my Gamecock women, you know, women's team, they rolling, you know. They rolling, they doing what they need to do, they making things happen. So I know the next game up for the South Carolina men's team is against Kentucky. Oof, I don't know how that one's gonna go. Right now, the team is sitting at 7-8. And honestly, you know, I'm not that upset about the men's basketball team not doing as well, because it's Lamont Paris's first season. That's what a lot of people fail to realize. It's his first season. So, of course, it's going to take time. And that's what people need to understand. It's going to take patience. He has to get more of his players in there in order to win. But now, on the flip side of that, the whole NIL thing changes the landscape across college sports. So I'm willing to give Lamont Paris as much time as he need to build the team up. Because, hell, Dawn didn't build her dynasty overnight. It took time. So I'm doing the same with Lamont Paris. That also leads into a discussion that me and some of the fellows were having earlier about how much the college landscape, as far as college sports, has changed with NIL and transfer portals. And so the consensus is that a lot of these older coaches, they're going to leave the game because their style of coaching does not, in my opinion, may not mesh as well with these new up-and-coming players. And the players know, especially if you're a 4- and 5-star player and you're producing, if you don't like the situation, you can easily bounce and go to another school and get broke off. So it's changing the landscape. So I feel that you're going to see a lot more of the either old school coaches or the coaches who are just stubborn and don't want to change. I think you're going to see them start to kind of leave out the game, because now you have a lot that you have to deal with in terms of NIL, in terms of the portal, in terms of, you know, players jumping so much and having to, and you have to basically, you have to recruit, and you can't just rely on your 1 or 2 main recruiters to lure in players. It's a different ball game now. The other aspect is, and this is just my opinion, you know, it was a lot easier for coaches to kind of, how can I put this? Basically, you have a lot more players that are coming from 2-parent households with stable incomes. So you can't play that sad story that, oh, you know, I'm gonna do all I can to put your family in a better financial place. I mean, yeah, in a lot of situations it still applies, but now we're starting to see where it really does not apply in many situations. So you can't play that card anymore, right? You cannot, because like I said, these kids are coming from 2-parent households with stable incomes, college educated, you know, long story short, the parents ain't going for the bullshit, right? So these coaches are going to have to change up their style of how they recruit. And again, with NIL on the landscape, you know, and personally, I don't blame the kids for getting their money. They should have been getting this money all the time before. If the coach is getting their pockets enriched, the kids need to get their pockets enriched. But you best believe that I figure in the next few years, the NCAA is going to find a way to make changes. Now, I don't know how many changes they're going to make. I don't even know if they can, because the train's left the station, right? But I feel like they're going to make some changes just because your more blue blood programs are crying that they're not able to pull the recruits that they once were able to get. So we'll see how all that plays out. But I just found that very, very interesting today as a part of our discussion. So on that note, on the music front, really nothing's really changed. I hadn't really listened to anything new, honestly, except for what I stated in my last podcast about E. Jones, Deadstock Volume 5. I still spin that, and that's what I've been mainly listening to. And finally, going into the life front, so earlier I touched on the fact that about the Damar Hamlin situation, in which you never know what life is going to throw at you. And it's true, you just don't know. I mean, they were playing a game, and then next thing you know, boom, he ended up in the situation he was in. And so life does the same thing. Life will definitely throw you a curveball. Trust me. Trust and believe. I've been hit with so many curveballs, it ain't even funny. But the situation that happened with Damar Hamlin also put things in perspective, because not only do you not know what life's going to throw at you, you also have to look at the good things that are around you, right? Things won't always go the way you want them to, unfortunately, but you have to look at And granted, it's hard not to look at the negative side of things and not to look at, oh, shoulda, woulda, coulda. You got to look forward because, again, you don't know what kind of curveballs life are going to throw at you. So you got to try to enjoy life as much as possible while you can and try to do things for yourself to make the kind of life that you want. That's one of the things that really kind of I've been thinking about lately, because again, I've been listening to a lot of different other podcasts. Like I listened to The Mindset Mentor with Rob Dial Jr. And that was one of the things that he touched on, I believe it was last week, where he talked about being the architect of your life. And so that's something that in 2023, I'm definitely going to take charge of, is being more the architect of my own life. Like, how do I want this to go? How do I want to shape things? How do I foresee things going within the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years? And so, yes, I'm definitely going to take more charge of that. I'm going to be more mindful that, again, you never know what can happen in this life. So just try to do the best you can to enjoy it. If there's a setback, yeah, I mean, I'm human, right? I'm human and I'm a Virgo. So I'm going to get upset about it, but I'm learning that you can't brood over it. You can't carry it with you, because then it's going to lead to you being depressed. It's going to lead you to being off track with your goals, and you know, it could lead to other stuff. So I'm learning, you know, to take things as they are, and I'm learning to do different things to move in order to move forward from any sort of disappointments, as well as learning that because life is going to throw curveballs at you. You just, you know, you can be ready as much as possible, but when the curveballs come, you just got to take it. And also not to take things for granted or take life for granted, because you just never know. So on that note, that is all that I have for you today. If you like the podcast, please listen, please like, please share, please leave feedback. You know, we're available on, you know, Spotify, which is the owner of Anchor. We are on Apple Music. We're wherever you get your podcast. We are here. 2023, this is the year that I'm trying to blow this thing up. I'm trying to make it into a larger platform, but I can't do it without you and your support. So again, if you like what you hear, please share, please like, please comment, please let them know. Nerdy Lil Bubba is what you need in your life. And finally, let me just say that I'm going to leave you like I always leave you, which is I wish you nothing but peace and one love. Take care.